Corinthians chapter 11, if you'll start with me in verse 17, the Bible says, "Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not." Now it's important to understand, if you go back to verse 1 of chapter 11, he starts by saying, "Now I praise you, brethren." And he praised them because he said, "Ye remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you." And so he's going to be talking about ordinances, but I'm not going to read all of it because it's really not related to the thought tonight. But before he gets to the ordinances, he's helping that church establish order in their worship. It's hard to have ordinances, things that Christ has commanded us to keep, if we don't first have order. And so he's talking about Christ as the head of the man is the head of the woman, and the man is the image and the glory of God, and likewise the woman of the man. And so all of those things are extremely important for a church to get ironed out. I don't think I have to belabor the point. I am very appreciative that we belong to a church that has those things already in order. And so he establishes the order, and now he's getting down to the ordinance. And you'll notice as we read, he doesn't really touch on baptism. He already did at the beginning of the book. And I appreciate just the truths that he shared there. We'll get into that later on. So verse 17, he begins by saying, "Brethren, I praise you." But now he says, "Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not that ye come together, not for the better, but for the worse." First thing that I notice when I'm thinking about the Lord's Supper is it is a time for us to come together. Anytime we come together in church, it's an invitation of God saying, "I would like to sup with you. The bread of life is being opened up by the Scriptures, and that's an opportunity for us to sup with Him, grow closer to Him, and not only that, but it's us coming together. And we all know that when we are together in the house of God, we are supposed to be a people of unity. And that's why Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4 that we are supposed to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I've said this before, the goal is not peace, because if the goal is peace, then we might be willing to sacrifice unity to get peace. No, the goal is unity. And when the goal is unity, then we're going to do what we can in truth to keep the peace. And so all of that's related to what we are trying to accomplish tonight. Keep following with me. He says that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. When I come to church, I should be seeking not just the betterment of myself, because of what I'm going to hear from the Word of God, but I should be seeking the betterment of other people as well. And so he rebukes them because he says, you are literally gathering for the worse. Verse 18 says, "For first of all, when ye come together in the church," there's that terminology again, "I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it." I wondered why he said partly. But if you go back to the beginning of the book, he says, "Hey, the household of Chloe, they told me that there's divisions among you." And he asks this question, is Christ divided? If Christ isn't divided, then why are you divided? Where is the unity there? "For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it." You know, the church, that should never be the testimony of a church, that if I hear that such and such Baptist church down the road, that there's divisions, I don't ever want to be in a position where I say, you know what, I hear that and I partly believe it. Have you met those folks down there? And you think it's just church-wide? No, it can happen just in a church in smaller scales. Hey, that Sunday school class, do you hear the things that they see, they say, and the things that they teach? There's divisions there. And he goes on to say, "For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you." Now, I will say this. I'm very thankful that amongst all the teachers in our church and amongst all the preachers in our church, I do not know of anybody that intentionally teaches heresy simply so that they can be made manifest and be approved amongst other people. I'm thankful that nobody here is following Apollos and Paul and Cephas or whoever else. Everybody here, I would love to believe in confidence that we are following Christ. If you preach Christ and you teach Christ, then the people will follow Christ. But when you start saying other things that are not in accordance with Scripture, that's when the heresies come into play. That's when divisions start. Or I could replace that word with, that's when the cliques start. See, it doesn't take much for that kind of stuff to get started. He says, "When ye come together, therefore, into one place." Man, I wonder how you do that if you don't have a local church. This is not to eat the Lord's Supper. Interesting. I thought to partake in the Lord's Supper, you had to eat it. He says, for in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. Now, I can't even begin to explain just the absolute dysfunction of what these people were doing. Church of Corinth was an absolute train wreck in so many different ways, and this is one of them. He says, what? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. I mean, they had, it was like a potluck, but nobody brought food to share. And so the people that had the money and the food, they brought it and said, you know, could you just imagine me coming in tonight? Hey, we're taking the Lord's Supper. And me holding my crock pot of food and walking right by everybody else. Where's your food? I got mine. Oh, is that for you to share? No, it's just for me. So, I'm sorry that you're going to miss out tonight. I'm not going hungry. You say, well, that's crazy. That's what they were doing. They literally took their supper before one. What did he say? For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another drunken. So that's why he says, when you come together in one place, it's not to eat the Lord's Supper. It's not about consumption. And then he goes on to give more details of the actual Lord's Supper and really what it's for. He says, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Now, Paul wasn't there. We see the account in all the Gospels. Paul wasn't there that night when Jesus did that. So how did Paul know? By divine revelation. So you read this, and then you cross-reference it to the Gospels, and you say, wow, he's spot on. That's exactly what took place. Well, how did he know? Because Jesus himself told him. And you get to see, comparing Scripture with Scripture, that these things are true. I better pay attention, because what I'm reading is important. Not only do all the Gospels say the same thing, but now Paul comes into play, and he's saying the same thing, and he's saying, what I've received, I'm delivering unto you. To me, that sounds like a pattern. He received a pattern, and he's giving to the church. Anytime there's a pattern in Scripture, there is an expectation that the people of God follow that pattern. You say, well, how do you know that? Because he took the time to rebuke them for doing what? Not following the pattern. And he says, I received this and I delivered it unto you. He already instructed them and told them what they were supposed to be doing. And yet they got so far off that here he comes back in again. And he says, I'm just going to have to remind you. Now I'm writing it down for you. He says that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. You know, all of the accounts mention that. He was betrayed that night. Man, there's so much I could say. What a shame. Judas got to be there, got to partake in just the wonderful truths that surrounded him. Judas betrayed him. Later on, Peter denied him. And you know what? I really can't judge him because I helped crucify him. And when he had given thanks, he brake it. And I think of Luke 22, he said, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Man, what a God. We're not partaking in the Passover tonight. That was for the Jews. That was for them to remember. God delivered them out of the hand of Pharaoh and of Egypt. And he said, you need to do this on a yearly basis to remember. Why do we do the Lord's Supper? It's to remember. God delivered me. And it's reminding me and reiterating what God did to deliver me. So in essence, you can say this is our Passover. And so when Jesus said to them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, he's now saying to us, with desire. He says, with longing, with my heart set upon you, I want to eat this with you. Because, like I said at the beginning, anytime we come to church, but especially on a Lord's Supper night, what does God want? It's an invitation. Come closer to me. It's not just an invitation, it's an examination. That's not my point tonight, it sounds like it, but it's an examination. Because for you to get closer to me, then you're going to have to remove those things that are keeping you from me. And you know what? One of the best ways, man, I'm getting ahead of myself. One of the best ways, and this is why the Lord's Supper is so important, so significant. Because you know what it takes sometimes for you to be willing to set aside those sins? It's to remember what he did for you. To remember that he suffered. To remember that he offered himself as a sacrifice for your sins. How could a professed child of God sit in a pew and partake in the remembrance of the Savior that died for their sins while they are partaking in the sins that he died for? You say, well, that's hard to do. It is hard to do. Why do you think we remember? Verse 24, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the new testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26, he says, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. So we see he gives them a pattern. Now we see he's showing them the purpose. For as oft as ye drink this cup, ye do show, or for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. That word show simply means a declaration. It's a proclamation. Because what we're doing when we get together is, again, we are remembering, but we are as well declaring what Jesus did for us when he died at Calvary. We are promoting that truth so that we can be benefited and we can be in unity with Christ. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. And there's so much more I could say about that. We're just supposed to do it till he comes. It's our responsibility because it's important. He says, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. And that's why he goes in to say, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. You know, the scriptures identify and call out and give us the very things that we see take place. And it says, this is what's happening. This is the problem that you have. Why won't you do anything about it? And I love how he wrote this thousands of years ago. And he says, for this cause, many are weak and sickly among you. And that's why many sleep. And I sit there and say, Paul, how did you know? How did you know that that was going to be taking place all these years later? What's the number one prayer request in every single church across the United States of America? And I'm not rebuking anybody for sharing health prayer requests. I'm not saying every time you have a health issue, it's because you're out with the Lord. That's not what that means. But I will say this, if you live in sin and then you choose to partake in the Lord's Supper, you are lying to everybody around you, and you are lying to God, and you better thank God that it wasn't like, oh man, what were those? Ananias and Sapphira. When they lied to the Holy Spirit, and he killed them right then and there. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. And he says this, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. We talked about that in our series on Despise Not Chastening. What grace God gives us, because he says, listen, I don't even have to be the one to do it all the time. If you just judge yourself, why did John in 1 John say, this is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sins. And then he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. What's he saying? If you would just judge yourself based upon the truth that I've already given you, then I wouldn't have to come in and do it, because you sat in a church, you lied to everybody around you, and you lied to me. Do we think it's important yet? The Lord's Supper, that is. He says, but when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. And again, hearkening back to the series on chastening, what a blessing that God deals with us as children. And he chastens us because he says you're a peculiar people. You're supposed to be separated. You're supposed to add virtue to your life. There's supposed to be a difference. And so when you are out of line, I will personally involve myself with you, and I will work in you in a way that hurts, but the wounds will heal if you just yield to the working. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. You say, what, tarry? We're already all here. We are. But you know what? Somebody might need that extra bit of time to allow God to let the truths really sink in. Maybe somebody just needs the persistent, this do in remembrance of me. And so we wait. And we'll have a time of waiting at the altar call tonight. I will invite everybody up. And that will be your opportunity to not only respond to the message. That's your opportunity to tarry. That's your opportunity to be cleansed, to confess, and allow God to be faithful and just in forgiving you of that sin. And if you have aught with anybody else, fix it. Listen, the goal should not be, man, well, you know what, if I got any problems, I'm not going to partake in it. Well, if you're not going to partake in it, then you're just disregarding the whole part where he said, this do in remembrance of me. To me, that sounds like a command. Why would he institute an ordinance and then tell us to keep it, and then people say, nah, I'm not going to care that much about actually keeping it? No, the goal is, I want to keep the ordinance. And so if I have a problem with somebody else, I want to get that problem fixed. If I have a problem with the Lord, I want to get that problem fixed. I want to be in unity with God, and I want to be in unity with my brethren. And so he says, wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. It just means to await with expectation. Listen, if I don't mind coming and waiting and waiting and waiting if I know that it will lead to your confession and repentance. If I know that it will lead to our church having a stronger unity, it is worth the wait. We are so fast-paced in our society nowadays, we don't want to wait. In fact, we got cookies waiting downstairs. What would we wait for? Can I just say this? Forget the cookies. I appreciate the hard work you guys put into those, but forget the cookies. I would rather wait and allow an opportunity for a stronger unity to take place in our church, a greater remembrance and a stronger emphasis on how I'm supposed to proceed from the Lord's Supper tonight with my brethren than getting to anything else, because the Lord's Supper and the remembrance of Him is important. And then he says this, and if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. Please help us, Lord. So much truth in this passage, I can't even begin to expound upon it all, and I've already taken up so much time. Please help us tonight, Lord. I pray that we would do your word justice, Lord, not just in principle, but in practice. Please, Father, help us. Help me and touch me. Father, empty me of self and fill me with your Spirit. And I pray that you would use your word to touch our hearts tonight, Lord. If anybody's out with one another, please encourage them. Prod them to fix it and get it right, Lord. And if we're out with you, please, Lord, please don't let us lie. Let us get it right. It's hard to do right if we ain't right. Please, Father, help us tonight. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, I'm going to move faster, taking up too much time. Tonight, we have the opportunity, Brother Jacob already mentioned this, to partake in the second of two ordinances, having already observed one this morning. Now, these are significant in and of themselves, but for a church that is growing and always learning, and boy, do I appreciate that, it is encouraging to have them back to back. There are many things that can be taught with each, and when reflecting upon them, you realize they are part of what make us who we are. Can I just say that's something, not to be proud of, but to be pleased with. That God, you gave me truth, and that truth defines me. And not just me, it defines my congregation, it defines our everything that we have. It's who we are. We're Baptists. Own it. Love it. Preach it. Live it. Do something with it. Now, I've categorized those two ordinances this way. Baptism. It is a representation of our death. That is what has taken place. Now, that was supposed to take place at salvation. Because in that moment, you admitted who you were. You were a sinner, and you're saying, God, I'm dying to that, and I want you. It is repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. Baptism is a representation of our death. The Lord's Supper is a remembrance of His. Anything involving our Savior ought to be deemed important to us in principle and in practice. The way in which we observe ordinances is a display of how important they are. You say, prove that. They believed it in principle. And he says, brethren, I praise you. You remember me in all things. And you keep the ordinances. Later on, he says, you're sucking at it. You need to do better. Probably a better word I could have used there. It's not just important in principle. It is important in practice. The way in which we observe ordinances is a display of how important they are. I am grateful for the frequency by which we observe the Lord's Supper. Now you might say, hey, let's do it like other churches do. Let's do it every single month. Let's turn it into the Lord's breakfast. No. Slow down. Because first of all, it's the Lord's Supper. And that's already been said here how many times? We already know that. It's not the Lord's breakfast. But spreading it out the way that we do helps us have a sobriety and a sensitivity about it that makes it special. Because here's the interesting thing. If you're saved and you have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling inside of you, then you know what it does? It's not that we're not spending time with Him already. It's not that we don't go to church already. It's not that there's no communion with Him already. But when you go a period of time without taking the Lord's Supper, you start to feel, man, I need that communion, that cleansing, the clearing. I want to be close to Him. Because the Lord's Supper is something so special. And it goes back to, well, that's why He ordained that we do it. Because we need that as Christians. With the text being about the Lord's Supper tonight, I want to hone in on the theme of remembrance. It should come as no surprise that we have a great tendency to forget things. Sometimes that tendency leads us to forget the important things. Thus why a regular observance of our ordinances is good. I want to give a few thoughts that I believe are helpful reminders before we partake in the supper tonight and hope they will be a help to you. I want to preach on this thought, reminders for the time of remembrance. Now that we've already gone over a lot, and I would just want to look at a few verses down at the bottom of the passage here and hope that we can get a summation. I just want to read the verses, give you the points, and then I just want to ask some questions, and we'll be done tonight. Number one, reminders for the time of remembrance. It is a time of unity. Now he says in verse 33, he says, wherefore, my brethren, after everything I've already said to you, this is now the conclusion of the matter. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 16 through 17 says, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. It is a time of unity. I know I don't need to belabor the point. Let me just ask you a question tonight. Can you say tonight that you are one in unity and fellowship with the Lord? Right now, as you sit in this pew, if we have fellowship with Him, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we do not the truth. Can you say that you are in unity and fellowship with the Lord? And two, that you are in unity and fellowship with everyone else, not just in this room, but outside of this church. Number two, reminders for the time of remembrance. It is not only a time of unity, it is a time of priority. Now look at this. He says, and if any man hunger, let him eat at home. Because what were they doing? They came to church that night simply to please and satisfy themselves. And Jesus and Paul are saying that was not the intended purpose of the Lord's Supper. It is not about you. We are not coming to see who amongst us is better than everybody else, or who has more money than so-and-so, and who has more. It's not about that. It's not to eat. He says, if you hunger, then eat at home. Why? Because it is a time of priority. When we take the Lord's Supper, our priority should be nothing else other than remembering what Jesus did for us on Calvary and to be right with Him and everyone else. Now, you may not be out with anyone else tonight. You may even say a prayer and ask for forgiveness. But part of the importance of this time is for you to get to a place where you can say with Paul, I am crucified with Christ. Baptism's what? A representation of our death. The Lord's Supper is a remembrance of His. But there's nothing wrong with each of us taking a moment to remember that we as well died. And there's nothing wrong with us walking out of here tonight and saying, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. You might say, hey, taking the Lord's Supper tonight, I'm glad my sins are forgiven. I get to go out of here free and clear. That's not the only goal. The goal should be, I need a more intense fervor for the Lord. I need to be a greater testimony and witness at work. It was a reminder that He came with a purpose. He fulfilled that purpose. He gave me the plan. I'm supposed to now execute the plan. In all the Gospels except for John, he talks about the Lord's Supper. In the Gospel of John, it actually skips that whole part, and it just talks about the events that took place after the Lord's Supper. And what did He do? They're talking about who's the greatest amongst all of them. And He's over here while they're being fools, girding Himself with a towel, and He washes their feet. And He says, I'm teaching you this because if I, your Lord and Master, do this for you, I'm setting an example for you to do it with others. Can I ask you a question before we move on? Over the past however months since we've taken the Lord's Supper, whose feet have you washed? So after tonight, guess what the goal is? I need to wash feet more. He taught me I need to serve. Man, the Lord's Supper has so much to it. Whose feet have you washed? It is not only a time of unity. It is not only a time of priority. Reminders for the time of remembrance. Let me ask you this before we move on. If Jesus came to church tonight, and he did. He's here. And He asked you personally what your priority was, what would you answer? Number three, it is a time of sobriety. Now He says this, wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another, and if any man hunger, let him eat at home, and that was with a purpose, that ye come not together into condemnation. That's a heavy word. And He already said about eating it unworthily. He says that ye come not together unto condemnation. It is a time of sobriety. There ought to be a certain aspect of you when sitting in this room where you say, I just want to make sure I'm good. I just want to make sure I'm good. And here's why. Let me ask you this before we move on. How often do you stop to consider how your actions affect the whole? Or do you operate as a Christian with just you in mind? The sobriety is not just so that you're safe. What about the whole church? Are you the reason we're going to be in condemnation? Because that ought not be the case. Reminders for a time of remembrance. It is a time of unity. It's a time of priority. It is a time of sobriety. And lastly this, it is a time of sensitivity. Now follow me with this one. He says this, and the rest will I set in order when I come. That left me to think, what was he talking about? What needed to be set in order? And so let me ask you this question. When you take the Lord's Supper and you remember what he did for you, and if you did it properly and you did it worthily because you are right with him and you are right with everybody else, there's nothing between you and the Savior, and you walk out of here, is there a moment that you sit down and consider and be sensitive? Because listen, if you're free and clear and you're right with God, then what does that mean? God's in you. He's filled you with the Spirit. And so there ought to come a sensitivity with that. What needs set in order in your life? It's great if you get forgiven. What else needs to be set in order? To conclude tonight, when we remember what Christ did for us, what comes with that is what makes the difference in what we really think of the sacrifice that he made. I'm extremely convicted by that. How many Lord's Suppers have I walked out of knowing what my problem was, knowing that God forgave me of it, and I didn't do anything about it? What we do with it is what really makes the difference. If he was willing to die for you, the question in remembering the Lord's Supper is, are you willing to continue dying to yourself for him? Or was baptism a show for everyone else just to say that you did it? The ordinances help bring about order in a church, and the order ought to bring about a closer walk with him as you partake in them. Is the time of remembrance a reminder for you? Let's all stand to our feet. Father, we love you. Thank you for our time tonight. Help us, Lord, please. Oh, Lord, I pray that you'd work in our hearts. Let this be a sweet time of fellowship. Lord, let it be a sobering time and a sensitive time. And help us to have our priorities straight. And Lord, let us as a church be in unity with one another tonight. Please, Lord, help us. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If God